We used to, I remember doing that skit called the Sin Cheer. And you know how sometimes, you know, we go and we play around with sin. We think it's fun. We think it's exciting, but we get stuck on it. And that's what was exciting about Friday, at our good service on Friday, Good Friday service, is remembering that Jesus died for our sin. He has set us free from the power of sin. And isn't that exciting? That today, not only did Jesus die for our sins, but he what, kids? He rose from the dead. What was that? He rose from the dead. Thank you. Okay. Woo! Good job, kids. Should we not be excited that he rose from the dead? Right? Thank you, kids. Now, kids, you do have up to a moment when you come across the word rose, risen. You can do that now, in the message, and then I'll tell you when it's time to cease, okay? But you guys, thank you for coming today on Resurrection Day. Thank you for taking time to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles or on your cell phones, I want to read the resurrection story from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 in verse 10. And let me just read the story. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." Okay, thank you. As he said, thank you. Thank you, daughter. And as he said, he'd come to see and come and see the place where he lay. And so go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Livy, that's good. Why is it my kids won't stop? Thank you. He is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy. And they ran to bring the disciples word, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." You know, as I was thinking this week about the Easter story, there are three words that came to my mind: sorrow, joy, and worship. And today I want to focus on those three words of the Easter story, because you will see, as we talk about the Easter story today, we will see how these three words play out in the life of these women who are part of the Easter story. And I want to focus on these women today. In Matthew here, we are introduced to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And according to the Mark's gospel, it was not only Mary Magdalene, but it was Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. And if you go into the gospels, there's a lot of Mary, so it can be very confusing. But we know that Mary Magdalene and this other Mary and Salome, they were coming to the tomb. But the question is why? Why were they coming to the tomb? Mark's gospel says this, that they came to the tomb very early in the morning to anoint Jesus' body with spices. So these women came to pay their love and respect to Jesus on that Easter morning. And you know what's interesting? We see in the Gospel of John, after the death of Jesus, just before the Sabbath, that Joseph of Arimathea comes, asks for the body of Jesus, and then he takes him along with Nicodemus, who brings 100 pounds of spices and myrrh, and they wrap up the body of Jesus. So these men went and gave Jesus a Jewish burial. Yet these women still felt the need to come and to anoint the body of Jesus. Maybe they needed to go through that process of grief because they didn't have time before the Sabbath. Or maybe the quality of the men's work was just not good enough for the ladies. Oh, come on, wives. You never have to redo things that your husband does, do you? My wife never says, oh, Reed, that dish isn't clean very well. Or, you know, I mean, I don't know what, but maybe the women just thought, these guys don't do it right, so I'm going to do it right. So they came because they loved Jesus. They came to respect him, the one they loved. But now we come across the first word I want to focus on this morning, and it is sorrow. These women were full of sorrow. I mean, as you may recall, Jesus was crucified on Friday and died just before the Jewish Sabbath. Even though Jesus said he would rise. Okay. So he would rise from the dead, and they just didn't get it. He told them, I'm going to be crucified and rise from the dead. But you know what? They just did not get it. So these ladies did not know what's going to happen to Jesus. And these ladies were not able to be part of the burial process. Because if you recall, he was crucified on Friday, and then they were coming to the Jewish Sabbath, and you could not work on the Sabbath. You could not bury someone on the Sabbath. So when Jesus was crucified, Joseph snatched up his body with Nicodemus, got him in the tomb. Nicodemus put him in his own personal tomb, a rich man's tomb, and the ladies never had an opportunity to be a part of it. But what's interesting is in the different Gospels, when you read the different stories, they followed, and some of these women followed, and they saw where Jesus was laid so they could be ready, so after the Sabbath, they could go and anoint Jesus' body with oil and spices. These ladies had a plan. They did not have an opportunity to just pay their honor and respect to Jesus. Could you imagine the sorrow that these women must have gone through? Think about it. Just before Jesus came to Jerusalem, we had Palm Sunday. He came in victory. People are, oh, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But then, by week's end, he is crucified. He's betrayed first by Judas. He's handed over to religious leaders. He's falsely accused. He is, even though he's innocent, he's found guilty and he's crucified. And these women were witnesses of this. While the rest of the men, or most of the men, took off because they were afraid themselves of being crucified, the women were there. We know John was also there from the book of John, the Gospel of John. John was there with the mother of Jesus. And these other women, they saw Jesus hanging there in agony. They saw it. And you can imagine the sorrow. Earlier that week, he came in triumph, and now he's crucified. They saw the pain. They saw the torture. They saw the heaving. They saw the blood. They heard the screams of Jesus. We say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They saw it all. And yet, when Jesus died, they did not have the opportunity to bury him. So then they have to go. They have to go and do the Sabbath. They can't work. So they have a whole day they have to wait before they could pay their love and respects to Jesus, whom they loved. Could you imagine how that time was for them? Have you ever lost someone suddenly? Imagine losing them and not being able to do anything about it. These women are in sorrow. Their life is filled with sorrow. The one they loved, the one they thought was the Messiah, chosen by God, and in one instant he's dead, he's gone. They're waiting for a day before they could go to the tomb. So sorrow is the mark of their life, and that day of the Sabbath was a day of sorrow for them as they waited. Then we come to the second word, joy. These women, they come to the tomb very early, and in one instant, you see a transformation from sorrow to joy. They come to the tomb, the stone was rolled away, and the angel said to them, "He is risen!" Now, here's a question for you. Thank you. Do you get as excited about, when you hear about Jesus being risen and these kids don't want to stop, do you get as excited when you think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? We should. So these women, they come and they hear that news. Can you imagine? Instantly, their sorrow is turned to joy. In one moment. Why? Jesus is risen. Thank you. Now, I didn't hear any of the adults say he's risen indeed. What? Okay, thank you, we're good. Thank you. So these women take off. They hear about Jesus is risen. They take off in fear and in joy. They just saw this angel. They're fearful but also joyful at the news. They rush to go to the disciples. And who do they run into? Jesus. I don't know about you, but you know there's joy and joy. You ever had like a best friend tell you they're going to have a baby and you hear about it and you're joyful? But how does that feel when you go and you hold the new baby? Now that's joy, right? These ladies, when they heard that Jesus was alive, what did they do? They get all through that fear and joy and they go rushing. And then when they saw Jesus alive, they fall down at his feet. Jesus is risen. Is he indeed? Is he risen? Okay. Okay. I wish I had as much energy. Anybody else say I wish I had that much energy? I know. Oh, come on, please. Yes. Yes. Okay, that's good, kids. No more of that, please, for the application coming up, please. Now, worship is the next word. When they saw that Jesus was alive, their joy is overflowing. What do? They fall at Jesus' feet, and they worship him. So you see three words play out in the life of these women. Sorrow, joy, and worship. And I want to put those last two words together. Sorrow, joyful worship. Now today, what can we learn from the story? There are some here today that your life is marked by sorrow. Kids, what's sorrow? If you could tell me what sorrow is, what would you say it is, Cora? Sadness. What would you say? You feel bad? So that's a good one, Noah. Depression. Feel sorry. There are some here today that your life is consumed by sorrow. Is that you today? Is your life, do you find that battle, that struggle of sorrow? Maybe you have lost a friend or loved one, so you're filled with sorrow. I came across a story by Michael Green. Just listen to the story. Dr. R.A. Torrey, founder of the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, lost his 12-year-old daughter in an accident. The funeral was on a rainy day, and they stood there beside the hole in the ground, surrounded by loved ones. It was a dark and dismal day. Miss Torrey said to her husband, I'm so glad that Elizabeth is not in that box. You know, the true Elizabeth. And their grief when they went home was with them. And that night, they tried to sleep. Dr. Torrey got up in the morning and went for a walk. A wave of grief broke over him anew. The loneliness of her absence, the terrible feeling knowing that they would never hear her laugh again, never see her face, never witness her growth. He couldn't take it, and he leaned against the street light, and he looked up and began to pray. And this is what he said he experienced. And just then, the fountain of the Holy Spirit, whom I had in my heart, broke forth with such power as I think I've never experienced before. And it was the most joyful moment I have ever known in my life. It is unspeakable, glorious thing to have within you, a fountain ever springing up, 365 days of the year, spring up under all circumstances. Maybe that is you today. You need a touch of the Holy Spirit. You need joy. But you're filled with sorrow. But you know, there's also other kinds, there's different kinds of sorrow. There's a sorrow full of regret. There are some here today, when you look over your past, it's a sorrow of the past. You look past at your regrets and your sorrow. Oh man, I wish I would have made that decision. I wish I would have lived differently. I wish I would have chose things differently. And you're living with that sorrow, the sorrow of regret. And there's also some here that have the sorrow of the present. You maybe don't like your situation you're in. You don't like your job. You don't like how things are going with your family. And so you're filled with the sorrow of the presently, what's going on in your life. And because you may struggle with sorrow of your past regrets, sorrow of your present, then there's a sorrow of the future. You see no future ahead of you. And that sorrow, it just holds you down. It's heavy. Or like Noah said, this depression comes on you. There's no hope. There's no purpose. There's nothing you can imagine and look forward to. And that is the mark of your life, is sorrow. How do you begin to overcome that sorrow? You need today to encounter in a fresh way, or maybe the first time, you need to encounter the resurrected Jesus, because he's alive. He's here right now. He's here and he's alive, and he wants to infuse you with life and new purpose. Do you want to be freed from your sorrow? The first step is coming like those ladies, falling down at his feet, taking hold of him and not wanting to let go, and say, Lord, I need your life. I need, instead of sorrow, I need your joy. So the first step, how do we overcome sorrow? It is through encountering Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the resurrection. Whatever you pursue, money, men or women, relationships, things, possessions that will never give you life. Jesus is the resurrection. It says in John chapter 11 in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever believes in me shall never die. Jesus has the power. Now the question, do you believe that? There's believing, I believe it, but nothing happens. The question I have is, do you truly believe it? Maybe you need to come back to that first step and say, God, I kind of believe, but I don't know if I truly do. I need you to increase my faith. Some of you guys, I don't know, this last year for me personally, God has been shining light into my life where I would say I believe something, and I found out deep inside there's this hidden thing called unbelief, and it's hidden down inside, and you don't see it there, and God's showing me things in my own life where, you know what? Why God can't do things in me is because there's so much deep-seated unbelief, and he's beginning to purge that out and increasing my faith. And that's the same thing for us. We must believe without a question that Jesus is the resurrection. Do you believe that today? Jesus wants to transform your sorrow and give you joy. Listen to Isaiah 61, verses 1. Through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort, listen to you guys, listen to this, to comfort all those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Jesus wants to give you beauty instead of ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. Jesus wants to transform your life. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, he wants to transform your life today. Maybe you're a believer in Jesus Christ, but you've fallen into sorrow. He wants to transform your life. He's present today. There's power in the name of Jesus. He died, he resurrected, and the same power that rose Jesus from the dead wants to bring life into your bodies through Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Do you believe that today? Where are you at today? Do you know what Scripture says? Do you remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well one day? That right now, the Father is seeking worshipers. I'm going to take it one little step further on that. From Scripture, he is looking for joyful worshipers. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. He is looking for those who truly worship him in spirit and in truth. And part of worshiping God in truth is through joy, joyful worship. Do you have joyful worship today, or are you consumed by sorrow? So first thing, if we want to encounter, overcome sorrow, we first need to come to Jesus Christ, and he is our resurrection life. That is the first step. But to do that, we must understand a word that we hear many times, but we need to understand more the depths of it, and that is called the gospel. Kids, what does the gospel mean? Good news. We need to understand the good news. What is the good news? And I just want to read 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. This is the gospel. And when I read this, I want you to ask yourself, do I truly believe this with every depth of my being? Do I believe in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? Because until we believe it, we will never overcome sorrow in our lives. And even if you are a believer, we wander. And we need to come back to the power of the gospel. Because it's not only powerful back then, 2,000 2,000 years ago, it's as powerful as it was then, and it is now as powerful as it was then. Listen to this. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you are also saved." You see two different words there, stand and saved. When you come to know Jesus and you believe in the gospel, you're saved. But to continue in the gospel, you need to stand in what the gospel says and make it a part of your everyday life. There is standing in the gospel, and there's being saved in the gospel of Jesus Christ. By which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now here's the gospel. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose the third day according to the scriptures. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that he died for you, died for your sins past, present, and future. He died for them all. And the gospel is believing, you know what? I am a sinner. I need his forgiveness. And I come to Jesus. I come to the cross. And I cast myself at the foot of the cross. I say, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. And there's even times you may know Jesus that you have to go back to the cross and remember and say, Lord, I believe you died for my sins. But you know what? Not only do I believe that you died, but on the third day, the stone was rolled away. And just like Jesus came to life, you, through the Holy Spirit, can come to life just like Jesus did. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus conquered the grave. He overcame sin and death. He defeated the devil. He is the resurrection and life. Should this not fill you with joy? Jesus is alive. And he wants to infuse your life. He wants to transform your sorrow and give you joy. What are you going to do about it today? James says, be doers of the word. God's word says, today is a day of salvation. Today is the day. Where are you at today? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? This last Good Friday, Charity right here, accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior, and she's going to be baptized today. This last Friday, she said, I want to make Jesus my Lord. I want to give him my life. I want to make him my Lord. How are you going to respond today? Where is your joy? A good test of where you're at today. Does joy infuse your life? Now, I'm not saying, when I say joy, please don't misinterpret it for happiness. Are you happy today? Because happiness comes and goes with whatever. Joy is something inside of us that despite what we go through, there's a deep-seated, like, foundational joy. It's like, I know God's in control. My life may be falling apart. I may even hate my life at this very moment, but I know deep inside there's just joy because you think of the gospel. You think of what Jesus did for you. You think of his resurrecting power, and it fills you with this inward joy that just keeps you going. Do you have that joy? Or are you filled with sorrow? I want to share a video first before we respond to that. And there's going to be two responses today. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, I want to give you that opportunity. Will you search your heart today? You may go to church. You may, at times, you may wear a cross. That does not save you. You may try to be a good person. That doesn't save you. What saves you is Jesus Christ, and someday you may come before God, and you can say, why should I let you into heaven? You can say, oh, I did this, and did this. You say all these things and why you think you should get to heaven, and that's not enough. The key is, I know Jesus. That's your key into heaven. So first response, maybe you're hearing the Spirit inside you saying, I don't know this Jesus. I'm not filled with joy. My life is consumed by sorrow, and I need to take that step of encountering Jesus. And another response is this. Maybe you, as a Christian, have wandered and you've lost your joy. And the Lord wants to say to you, I want to transform your sorrow and give you joy. I want to re-engage. I want to open your mind with a new imagination and excitement for life. And that's why I chose this song. When you think of Jesus, when you think of heaven, when you think what's coming up, are you excited because you are joyful because Jesus lives inside of you? Or when you think of heaven, you think of the future, it's consumed by sorrow. And I want you to listen to this song and just say, can you imagine what it will be like to be with Jesus? Or when you think about being with Jesus, you don't have any excitement. You're just filled with sorrow for the future. Let's watch this video. And then we'll have a response. Can you imagine it? To come into the glorious presence of Jesus and knowing you're only getting to heaven because of him. It's not because of your righteousness, but because of what he did on the cross for you. And you've given your life. So today, I want to give an opportunity. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you hear that inward voice saying, do it. I want you. Come. I want to transform your life. If that is you today, I'm not going to ask everyone to close their eyes. I'm not going to have everyone, okay, let's make it a secret here. If that is you today, I just want you to raise your hand so everyone can see you. That's a profession of faith that I believe. And I want to believe and I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you today, I give you that opportunity. I want you to raise your hand. If that is you today, raise your hand. Okay? Okay? Anybody else? I want this Jesus in my life. He can take your sorrow and turn it to joy. And I want to pray for you guys. But first, was there? Okay. No, Lexi. We're going to pray with you just a moment for those that raised your hand. Maybe today, you read, my life's consumed with sorrow and I need the joy of the Holy Spirit. I want to be a joyful worshiper and I need God in my life in a fresh way. If that is you today, I ask that you raise your hand. Say, and when you raise your hand, you're saying, God, that's me. I want that in my life. I've lost sight of God in some way. I want him to infuse me with a fresh joy that maybe I've lost, I've forgotten. If that is you today, I ask you to raise your hand that God could see it. Thank you. Thank you. You put your hand down after you raise it. Thank you. That God would infuse you with well, if we could have everyone stand up, please, for a moment. I want to pray with you. For those that raise their hands, and for those that raise their hands that they want a fresh joy, I want you to pray this prayer as a fresh commitment and renewal to God of giving him your life. May we just all pray this out together. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. And I know I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. And I believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross for me, and my sins. And I also believe that he was buried, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. And I ask now, God, that all my sins be cleansed away because I believe in Jesus. And now I give you my life. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I give you all that I am. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone, just give those hand of applause for all those people that... Keep going. Now, to close out our service today, we have two people that want to be baptized. How exciting. What a better day to have you. Maybe seated. We have someone, two people that want to be baptized today. And what a privilege to be able to have that happen on Resurrection Day. Here, you guys at Grace Crossing Church, we believe in baptism. We do not believe in infant baptism. We believe that you baptize someone. Someone's old enough to make that decision that they want Jesus, and they're old enough to say, I want everyone to know. It's an outward profession that I believe in Jesus. That's what baptism means. When you think of baptism, someone is what? Into the water, right? What does that mean? Jesus' death. And then when they come out, it's fresh. It's new, resurrecting life. And that is what baptism is. And so those who are being baptized today are not being baptized to be saved. They're being baptized to say, I believe in this. And I want everybody to know that I believe in it. So I'm going to hand it off first to the first person to be baptized. So let me just pray for those who are going to be baptized, and then we'll do our first baptism. Lord Jesus, I just want to pray, Lord, for Kadri and also for Charity today in Jesus' name. And I ask, Father, that, Lord, as they make that decision to make a public declaration of their faith in Jesus Christ, I ask right now, Lord, that you bless them, that, Lord, we would make a commitment to love them, to support them, and to teach them your ways. So, Lord, we just commit them into your hands as we celebrate their confession of faith in Jesus' name.